So yesterday we finally tested the all-time high on Bitcoin. You can see it on that line over there. We just nicked the all-time high, and then we were rejected, which was probably quite predictable to get rejected, because the all-time high is a big, big, big level for a token. Because once you break through the all-time high, you go into what's known as price discovery. And that is when essentially the price of a token starts to increase with no limitations whatsoever. And so I think Max Keiser was kind of like half right when he posted this, and he said, look, there's actually no supply over 74,000. And once we go through 74,000, we could actually get to 100,000 and 200,000 much, much, much quicker than you think. And when I saw this tweet, I actually went and researched what this concept of price discovery means and how high we could actually go if we break the all-time high and actually go into price discovery. And let me tell you something, when I dug into the fundamentals of what this price discovery phase actually means, it is huge. And I want to share with you what this price discovery stage is all about and how high we could actually land up going. And then the other thing that we spoke about yesterday was, we said yesterday that when Bitcoin passes the all-time high, that is when the dominance starts to drop and the altcoin season starts, okay? And when the altcoin season starts, you know that it's super important to be in the correct sectors for alts, because crypto is all about narratives. And the truth is, if you're in the right narratives, you'll land up making a lot of money. But if you're in the wrong narratives, like you can see here, you won't end up making any money. And one of the things that's important in this part of the cycle is to actually get into the right narratives. And I'm going to show you a narrative today with some altcoins, and specifically five altcoins that you should be buying. But this narrative is a narrative that I've previously told you to stay away from, believe it or not. I finally got a narrative, or I found a narrative where I've always told you, stay away from this narrative, stay away from this narrative, stay away from this narrative. And I can't believe that I'm telling you today that you actually need to buy it, believe it or not. And it's huge, and it's gonna make life-changing money. So let's go, all-time highs ahead, and a big show ahead, let's go. I see Laurie R in the chat. Laurie, I like you. You say send the likes early on. Josh, can we get Laurie R? There we go. Laurie R is in the chat saying send the likes early on. But I see everybody in the chat. I see Sander saying VC coins close, but no cigar, sir. Mice 100 says ADA. Well, we are going to be talking about ADA definitely today. Athena, you're right. You're right. Athena is one of them. Athena is one of them. Someone says feels like it's canceled. Not going to make it. Oh, bull. Welcome, welcome. Well, guys, I see you all. I see you all. What I need you guys to do is absolutely obliterate the like button. I'm about to bring you alpha, where wow, like the alpha in the show. By the end of the show, you're gonna need a shower, because you're gonna be dripping with alpha, and you can't be walking around the gym or the shopping mall dripping with alpha, because people will see the alpha and they will get absolutely envious of the fact that you have so much alpha dripping from you. So what I need you guys to do, smash a like button. I'm going to get straight into the alpha today, because we really got to try and get all this alpha into like 30 minutes, which is, they always tell me 30 minutes. So you guys smash the like button. I'm going to bring the alpha. Let's go. Let's get straight into it. No time to waste today. So let's talk about what happened yesterday. Or let's talk about what happened in the last couple of days. First, we convincingly, I'm going to zoom in here. I'm going to zoom right in here for those of you. We broke the 7 month downtrend 2 days ago. Then yesterday, one day after that, we rallied directly to the all-time high. Now, I told you that would happen because this is a big level. Breaking a 7 month long downtrend is a big level, and took us 7 times to actually get through that level. And I showed you this battle that happened around here until eventually we broke through, and it was quite predictable that we were going to break through. These levels are nothing levels. This level over here and this level over here, they're not key levels. They're not areas where we spent a lot of time trying to break through. But then there's this level over here. Now, this level is the all-time high for Bitcoin. There's a big difference between these levels, which are butter levels because they represent nothing, and the all-time high. This was a key level to break. It took us a long time to break it, 7 months, 7 taps on the level, and we finally broke it. These were butter. Took us 1 day to break through 2 of these key levels. And then we got here and we put up a little bit of a fight, but then we retreated. And the reason why we retreated is very simple. This is an all-time high. An all-time high is a key level. It's a key psychological level. And I want to explain to you why it's a key psychological level. Because when you understand the fundamentals behind the charts around an all-time high, you'll understand what happens when we break this level. It is, I would say, close to impossible to break this level on a first attempt. I would say it's it's close to impossible to break an all-time high on the first attempt. And I'll tell you why. These people who bought Bitcoin over here, and there was quite a bit of volume over here, because remember that when prices are going up, generally volume comes into the market over here, right? Let's see if we can quickly get a volume indicator here. I don't know if we will get an accurate volume indicator. Let's see if we can get volume. So what you can see is here, when the all-time high started to happen, there was a lot of volume. You know what that means? That means that a lot of people landed up buying this level over here. Now, when they bought, the price automatically started to go down, right? So psychologically, these people were in a loss. And when those people were in a loss, their only objective, when you buy a token and you're at a loss, you only have one objective: break even, right? Like, that's what happens when you buy a token at an all-time high. You have one objective. Your objective is break even. And more often than not, as you approach your break even level after you have experienced pain on a token, generally what you will do is you will be tempted to sell and get out. Okay, so the psychology is very simple. If you buy a token and the token lands up going up, you're in the money, you love the token, you're not really inclined to sell, because why would you sell? You'd keep doubling your profits. Taking profits is one of the hardest things to do in crypto, because when you're making money on a token, there's really no reason to take profits. You love the token. There's a feedback loop in your brain. The feedback loop in your brain is telling you you're a genius. It's telling you that this is the best token that you've ever bought. When you land up buying at the top and the price then goes down, you kind of hate the token. You get in at 74 as a new retail investor. You brought in all this volume over here. All of a sudden, before you know it, 5-6 days later, Bitcoin's price is back at 60,000. You hate this token. You hate crypto. You've taken a mortgage. All your friends are making money. And all you want to do is just get your money and get the hell out. And so what happens? As soon as Bitcoin gets close to the all-time high again, you say, you know what? 72 is good enough for me. I've been suffering for, let's quickly count the number of days. My girlfriend's been mad at me. I've potentially lost a mortgage. I've been suffering for a month. I'm going to get the hell out. If you didn't manage to sell, you were destroyed again and you went all the way down to 56,000. Now you've bought at 73,000 and you went all the way down to 56,000. You hate crypto. You need to get out. Price goes up. It gets back to 72,000. You're like, listen, 72 is close enough. The last time we got to 72,725, I didn't sell. I'm a sell. And so you land up selling lower. And so what happens is, yeah, this whole pattern is these idiots who bought very, very late in the game, this volume, trying to find a way out. Until eventually what happens is that volume gets flushed out the market. And when it does get flushed out the market after a long time, what happens is you go into price discovery. And you break the trend down and then you attack the all-time high. At this point over here, up until this point, you always have sellers. And the reason you always have sellers is because there are always people that are down on their purchase price. And so for as long as you have people that are down on their purchase price, they are encouraged to sell. And so when you look at it, when you look at that on chain and you say, okay, if you look at where we're at now, if you look at this, you can see that 99% of people are now, or 93% of people that bought Bitcoin are now in profit, which means that when you break this all-time high over here, 100% of people are in profits. Anyone that bought ever is basically in profits, because you're at all-time high territory. So what does that mean? It means that people are less susceptible to sell. So when we break the all-time high, automatically there are less sellers, because there are less people that are trying to recoup their investment. And everything that we have is profits. And taking profits is one of the hardest things to do in crypto, specifically when everyone is talking about a bull market. Theoretically, we should be taking profits when the price goes up, but we don't do that because that's not human nature. And that's why taking profits is the hardest thing in the world. And so when we break the all-time high and 100% of the holders of Bitcoin are actually in profit, you get into a situation where all of a sudden there are no sellers. And then that's what the order book actually looks like. So you see, that's what the order book looks like. there's a whole lot of buyers. And then all of a sudden, after the all-time high, after the 73,000, all of a sudden, there are no sellers in the market because there's no one who needs to sell to try and get their money back. And so most people are just happy to stay for the ride, specifically when there is upwards momentum. It's the same thing on a meme coin. Like even on a meme coin where there's zero fundamental value, if you have a chart that starts low and people start making money, generally what happens is people don't sell. Only when the price starts going down, people start to sell more aggressively because they're trying to recoup their losses. And so generally what happens is when you break the all-time high, the order book becomes really, really thin. And that is when the price actually starts to accelerate. Now, it's funny that retail investors actually love entering the market after the all-time high has actually been breached. So you look at this. Look at the increase or the spike in YouTube volume. The spike in YouTube volume actually happens once you break the all-time high, ironically. So you first break the all-time high, then you get a spike in retail volume. It's almost like retail don't want to come in until the all-time high has actually been breached. So now you get this magic combination of retail all of a sudden start coming in, but at the same time, nobody's selling because the people that are in have no reason to sell. And that is when you get this magic combination of this magic thing called price discovery, which is essentially when the price just goes up at a very fast pace with no stop. The term price discovery simply means that there's no charts that you can draw with levels where people, like this is on a chart, a key level, right? Why is it a key level? Because a lot of people bought here. And so you need to get over that to shake the people out who were taking profits, right? And so what we're starting to see now is that the all-time high is about to be breached. There's going to be no sellers when the all-time high are breached. But that is when the retail people actually start coming in. That's when the retail people actually start coming in. And you can see it actually in the data. The people always come back when the all-time high, after the all-time high is hit. So what actually happens? What does that actually cause? Well, it causes a frenzy. Now, we started to get signs of the frenzy yesterday. Yesterday, for the first time in a long time, I had not one, not two, but three people call me and was like, "Hey, bro, how's it going?" And like they try and make it like as if they're not really asking you about like crypto because they haven't spoken to you in the whole down market when Bitcoin was going down to, I don't know, $40,000 or $50,000. They didn't phone you. They didn't want to know how you were doing. They didn't want to know if your bags were like, "How are your bags, bro? Can I help you? Can I buy you some food? Like, do you need any like any food at the house? Because you know the down market was a little bit tough." But as we get to all time high, literally as we were challenging the all time high yesterday, three people phoned me, and it's like, "How's it, bro? You know, bro, it's Halloween coming up tomorrow. Do you want to maybe take the kids somewhere?" It's like, "Yeah, okay, well, we can take the kids somewhere. Where do you want? Oh, let's take them to this area." "Bro, I just wanted to ask you something. Is Binance still safe? Like, do you think I can maybe put money back into Binance, bro?" That's basically the conversations I was having last night. Like, three people phoned me, invited me to Halloween, but they don't actually want to go to Halloween. They just wanted an excuse to, "Bro, is Binance safe? Do you think you can send me like a buy list? Are they all listed on Binance?" Because retail love it when you break the all-time high. And you started seeing that yesterday. So look at the Coinbase app rankings. That's another indicator that shows you this shit, right? So you have the Coinbase app rankings. Look at when the Coinbase app rankings go up after the all-time high. So you break the level, and then after you break the level, that is when the retail investors actually start coming in, believe it or not. And so yesterday, when we were challenging the all-time high, the app jumped like 168 spots in the app store. But this is just the beginning, because they will come here when we break the all-time high and when there is no one to actually sell the tokens to them. This is the beginning of the frenzy. The beginning of the frenzy is like what you call the early adopters in crypto. And you can see the frenzy started to go crazy yesterday. You had another $1 billion minted yesterday, a Tether. You had the ETFs. Okay, get this. The ETFs yesterday, almost $1 billion worth of inflows yesterday. That means in October, I think yesterday we looked at it. Let me see. Do I have the ETF flows? Hold on. Let me see if I can pull out the spreadsheet of those, the ETF flows. We did that yesterday, I think. I've been looking at so many ETF flows. Let's see. If the researchers are watching the show, if they could just send me the ETF flow sheet that we did yesterday, let's see if we can add in today's numbers and see what it looks like. I don't know. Maybe the researchers are watching the show and they'll actually send it to us. But what you've got now is you've got something like $4 billion out of the $20 billion coming in 1 month for Bitcoin. And so the frenzy and the momentum is starting to flow. Here we go. You see that some of the researchers are actually watching the show. Yeah, the younger ones are, the newer ones are, the older ones are like, you know, they're rich now, bro. So you see, can we add yesterday? So you see they're adding yesterday, doing the work now. See, they're adding yesterday, copying the date. See, they're copying the date, great, 29th. Good work, sir, good work. They're putting it all in. Anyway, so what we're seeing is this frenzy actually start to begin. And I think a lot of it has got to do with a couple of things. I think the first reason is retail just loves all-time highs. They just love buying the top. They love buying all-time highs. And the good news is that if they land up buying the all-time high this time, it's just the beginning of price discovery, and there'll be a new bunch of people who are going to buy the bags from them at the all-time high. The market's also starting to price in a couple of things now. So the first thing that the market's really starting to price in now is the market is starting to price in a Trump win. So everyone who's anyone is starting to price in a Trump win. I've got to be honest with you guys. I think that be careful going into the elections leverage, because I think both longs and short will actually get destroyed. Leveraged longs and leveraged shorts will actually be destroyed in the elections. That's for sure. Because I think that there's going to be some kind of wobble. So the first thing is the market's starting to price in an all-time high, an election win by Trump. Then you got stocks at all-time high, gold at all-time high, everything's at all-time high. And we're definitely going into a rate-cutting cycle next week. So Bitcoin has a lot of tailwinds on its side. The first thing is it's got a massive catch-up trade to stocks and to gold and to the money supply. And you can see that when you look at the gold versus Bitcoin charts. This is not Bitcoin to USDT. This is Bitcoin to gold. And what you can see when you look at the Bitcoin to gold chart is that this chart is starting to print a cup and handle, right? So as soon as it breaks out of this, we start printing a cup and handle, which means that effectively the catch-up trade where gold has been so far ahead is actually starting to catch up. Then there's the same trade with the money supply. So that cup and handle is already matured. So you can see cup and then handle to the money supply, because the money supply is at its highest. And so what you're seeing now is you're seeing a loosening cycle. So if you look at the job numbers from yesterday, the US job openings fell to the lowest level since early 2021. So that means that all of a sudden there's a lot of job openings. The employment market is not as heated as the employment market used to be. And so now the market's pretty much 100% banking on the fact that there's going to be like a rate cut. On top of that, we heard Larry Fink saying,
"Before the Fed finishes this year, would you expect a 25 basis point rate cut? Or a 50 basis point, or you don't know?"
I think it's fair to say we're going to have at least a 25, but that being said, I do believe we have greater embedded inflation in the world than we've ever seen.
He said two things in that one sentence, which you need to pay attention to. He said, look, the first thing is there's going to be a rate cut this year. At least 25 basis points. That's already factored in. Now, I want you to see when the next, on the 7th of November, is the FOMC meeting. When is the election? The 5th of November. By the 7th of November, we kind of know who's president. Trump has threatened or told Jerome Powell, I'm not going to appoint you again. And the reason why I said it is because he said, that man, he kept interest rates high for way too long. He missed the curve completely, he said. So, like, basically, he's warned Trump that you better reduce interest rates fast. I suspect if Trump comes into power, we get a double rate cut. So like, it's almost like Jerome Powell goes like, listen, if I cut quickly, maybe Trump will say, okay, I can keep my job, right? And so basically, I think what we're getting here is we're getting a rate cut. But at the same time, listen to the second part of what Larry Fink says. He says there's a rate cut.
Greater embedded inflation in the world than we've ever seen.
Let's go a little.
That being said, I do believe we have greater embedded inflation in the world than we've ever seen. We have government and policy that is much more inflationary, whether it's immigration, excuse me, our policies of onshoring, All of this, no one is asking the question at what cost.
So he says, look, we're going to get a rate cut. But remember, the Fed is only cutting rates because it believes it's got inflation under control and it's worried it's going to break the job market by keeping the economy too tight. But he also said, look, the problem is there's been a whole government shift in strategy to bring manufacturing onshore. Now, when you bring manufacturing onshore, it makes manufacturing more expensive. So manufacturing in the US is much more expensive than manufacturing in China because of the cost of labor, right? But if you bring manufacturing onshore, you increase inflation. So he's kind of saying, look, we're going to get a rate cut because you want to protect the job market. The problem is that we're going to get naturally high inflation. And that is why people are turning to Bitcoin and gold, because what they're starting to see now is they're starting to see that you need to be holding hard assets where your rate of growth of assets is actually starting to fly. You need to be holding those assets. You can't be holding cash when your cash is declining and your interest rates are decreasing. So he's saying, look, interest rates are going to go down, but inflation is actually going to go up. And that is the worst case scenario, because they have to reduce interest rates to stimulate the economy. But if they do, they're going to get inflation. And so all roads pretty much lead to inflation. Someone says, Andre, this is the researcher saying that the researchers did a good... The researcher himself is saying, wow, great job to the research team. Great job, research team. Now he says research team on fire as well. He is one of the researchers. By the way, if you want to join him as a researcher, there's a link below. Join us. If you want to be a part of the Banter team and you want, we're looking to hire 10 researchers. So join us. If you want to be a full-time researcher, he says, finally got onto the show. So join us. There's a link below. If there isn't, Josh will put it there. I'm looking for 10 researchers to help us drive this show. To be part of the amazing Banter team. It's the best training school you can actually get, but I'm looking for people who are obsessed. You got to be fully obsessed with crypto. You got to want to dig up for alpha and help us create these things. And also create these shows and also find the gems, find the narratives. So if you want to join that team, there's a link below, join us. Okay, so that is essentially what's going to happen in this part of the market. You're going to get the all-time high broken. When you get the all-time high broken, what you're going to get is you're going to get very, very, very thin order books. And then you're going to go into what's known as price discovery. And then the retail are all going to come here and they're just going to buy your bags. It's going to be amazing. When the retail actually buy your bags, at a certain point, they will actually buy your bags. And generally, there becomes a rotation from Bitcoin into altcoins. And so that is why when Bitcoin breaks the all-time high, the Bitcoin dominance actually starts to drop. It's because when we break the all-time high, we go into price discovery. When we go into price discovery, everyone's in profit. When you're in profit, you're less likely to sell unless you want to increase your risk to try and get higher returns. You've made a lot of money in Bitcoin. You now want to get some higher returns. You go into the altcoins. And that is why we get the alt season that usually happens. I read this tweet yesterday, but it's worth probably looking at it again now in this context. It says, when alt season, two parts. The first part, Bitcoin rallies while altcoins lose value against Bitcoin. The second part, Bitcoin breaks its all-time high, and then we're going to price discovery. So that's pretty much how the whole thing works. So when we break the all-time high, should be in the next couple of days if Trump comes into office. Then at the same time, I think the dominance starts to go down. Yesterday it got to 60. I think it starts, you know, we got the spike. I think it'll actually start to go down. Everyone here will be in profit. Those that are in profit will want to increase their risk. They'll increase their risk and they'll start going into altcoins. And even Ben Cowan says, he says, ETH's not dying. ETH-BTC does what it always does. I think ETH-BTC bottoms this quarter and goes up in 2025. So sometime this quarter, the ETH-BTC chart turns. I read this tweet, which I thought was very, very, very funny. It said, I really hate to say it, but the people... the ETH people are the XRP people from last cycle who basically landed up holding the bag and not making any money. And so essentially what we're looking for the alt season, we need Bitcoin to break from its all-time high. The Bitcoin dominance will start to drop and then the total three and the others will start to go parabolic. That's essentially what the alt season looks like. When the alt season actually happens, I think it's going to happen when Trump actually gets into office, because people will be a lot more risk on. And essentially, when it does happen, there's a long way to go for altcoins, because right now only 29 altcoins have beaten Bitcoin. So if you look at the top 50 performance over the last 90 days, you will see that there's nothing because the charts are actually broken. But if you refresh the page and it works, I mean, why does their website go down midstream? Could they not have done it any other time? Anyway, so long story short, then we get the alt season. Once we get the alt season, we all become rich. It's amazing. You're rich for a short period of time until the altcoins go to the top. Some of you will sell, about 3% of you will sell. 97% of you will hold the altcoins down, all the way down to the next season, and you'll be back here watching YouTube again, swearing that this time you're going to sell at the top, because it happens every single cycle. But no jokes. When the alt season actually comes, you want to make sure you're holding the right alts, because what we know about crypto is that crypto is about narratives, right? And like let's just talk about the year to date. We've had a decent year to date. We haven't had the best year. We've had a decent year to date. If you were in SocialFi, you're down 57%. If you were in Metaverse, you're down 30%. If you were in the L2s, you're down 16%, right? But if you were in memes, you're up 219%, or AI, you're up 217%. So in crypto, it's super important that you hold the right narratives in the alt season. Because if you hold the wrong narratives into an alt season, then you, and nobody tells you, then you might actually not even know that it's alt season. You could think that you're in a bear market. Like if you were holding SocialFi, you could still think that you're in a bear market if you're not reading Twitter. And then on Twitter, everyone's like sharing. They're like, hey, bro, made 100%, made 9,000. I love the ones that say, this guy turned one sol into $74 million. And then like they Photoshop the $74 million. You can see it's Photoshop, right? This is how he did it. And then like they try and sell you like a product at the end. Join my Telegram group. There's lots of other calls there. So if you want to join a group, there's only one group to join. You know what that group is, right? I don't have to mention it to you. It's called Front Runners. It's the only Discord group
there's
worth
only
dropping.
One group to join. You know what that group is.
Within right? about a week, we're going to have probably the best meme coin section in the whole world in Front Runners. That I can guarantee you, the best meme coin section in the whole world is going to be there. Anyway, as I was saying, you need to make sure that you have a, if you're in the Front Runners family, just like tell us in the thing, say Front Runners, Front Runners, Front Runners. I'm a Front Runner. So you need to be in the right narratives. And sometimes the idea is to find a narrative that nobody knows about and to actually buy it. And I think that that's what today's show is about. I think I found a narrative that everybody hates. In fact, I also hate it. I've been telling you guys not to buy it. I've told you guys for life, do not buy this narrative. Do not buy this narrative. And today I'm actually telling you to buy the narrative, believe it or not. I was this morning when there was a research call. We have a Front Runners research call every morning where the Front Runners actually join us and we talk about what's going on in the show and we really dig deep to try and find show topics. And this morning we found a gem that I don't think people fully understand. And I want to show you that gem because I think if you understand it, you will understand why it's better to buy Sui than it is to buy Cardano. Like, I know we all think like it is better, but I want to explain to you why it's better. Everyone knows to understand why it's better. So it's important that you're in the right narrative. And one of the narratives that I've been hating on and you've been hating on and everybody's been hating on is high FTV, low float tokens. Everyone said that the devil is high FTV, low float tokens, right? What do we mean by high FTV, low float tokens? Tokens that have a high fully diluted valuation. So like tokens that come onto the market at $1 billion and $2 billion. And then what happens is these tokens have a very low float of tokens, right? And so every time there's VC unlocks. And every time that there are VC unlocks, they push the price down, right? Everyone knows that. So this is like Celestia. You can see that there were very few tokens in circulation, right? So if you bought Celestia, there were only this amount of tokens in circulation. But then today actually is the biggest token unlocked. There's $1 billion worth of tokens being unlocked. So all of a sudden, there's so many more tokens being unlocked on Celestia. And there's no one to buy them. And so that naturally pushes the token price down. And so people hate low FTV, high FTV, low float tokens. Because the token, the protocol is expensive, and the number of tokens in circulation is small, and a lot of tokens fall on your head. And so you basically drown in token releases. I've told you this before. You like just drown in token releases. Every time you try and come up to get to your price, to the price that you actually bought the tokens at, more tokens fall from the sky and then they put you underwater again and there's actually no one to buy these tokens, right? And that is what you call high FTV, low float tokens. And everybody has hated the high FTV, low float tokens. Why? Because it's the VCs that bought things very expensive. So just listen to the terminology that I'm using here. VCs bought tokens very expensive. Smart VCs bought tokens very expensive, forced the price up, And then when the tokens launched, there were very few tokens in circulation. All what I'm saying to you is important now, because no, I don't know how many other people actually get this. So listen carefully. Smart VCs with lots of analysts were willing to pay a high price for a token. When the token came onto the market, there were very few tokens in circulation, right? And if you bought them, the VCs actually rained tokens on you and eventually just drowned in tokens. But what if I told you that instead of these low float, high FTV tokens needing to die, we can just change the word here. These low float, high FTV tokens need to buy. So not to die, but actually to buy. And that is what I think the thesis is here. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you why I think it's probably a good idea to start looking at all these tokens that everybody's hated on in the market. So remember, everyone hated on tokens like, I don't know, Blur. I'm looking at the names here. Blur, Zai, Ronin, Dimension. Dimension was really, really hated. Celestia was really, really hated. Axelar, Athena. All these tokens were hated. Why were they hated? Because they were low float tokens. And what you knew is if you were going to, you wanted the protocol because it was a good protocol. Fundamentally, it was a really, really good protocol. But you knew that if you bought this protocol, it would rain tokens on you and you would eventually drown in tokens, right? But I think that there is a scenario, and you can see that here's the unlocks of the tokens. Do not buy away. Stay away from the low float, high FTV vaporware tokens. Stay away from, look at them, Celestia, Sui, Optimism, Immutable X, all these tokens, right? But I think we need to change that now from these low float high FTV tokens need to die to these low float high FTV tokens need to buy. And I'll show you why. I agree that in a down market, when there are no buyers, right? In a down market where there are no buyers, when it rains tokens on your heads from token unlocks, that's a bad thing because there's no buyers in the market naturally. And more tokens are falling into the market, which means there's no buyers, which means that price will just go down and down and down and down and down, right? You get what I'm saying, right? So in a down market where there are no buyers and no momentum, low float, high FTV tokens, low tokens in circulation, high fully diluted valuation tokens are bad. But generally, if a token has a high fully diluted valuation, it's usually a good protocol. The problem with the protocol is that you just worry that you're going to get token releases falling onto your head. As I said to you, exactly like, I mean, there's many of these, but let's just look at Celestia, right? Like, so you invest here and then token releases just fall onto your head. And I mean, that's crazy. Like you'll drown in this. But in an up market, there is a scenario where it is worth actually buying the token. So we say, what is the scenario? There's three criteria. The first one is it has to be high FTV, low float. Second one is it's got to have strong fundamentals. So high FTV, low float with no fundamentals, don't touch. High FTV, low float with strong fundamentals may actually be the best buy, but with two other criteria. The first thing is it has to, so let's put two criteria, not one, so two. The first criteria is the market has to be an up market. Why? Because in an up market, there are buyers, right? And in an up market, when there are buyers, you can think of it like this. If you have less tokens in circulation, right? If you have less tokens in circulation, then let's assume that the balloons are the market forces taking the market up. Retail investors, a lot of it. So if you think about this as a lots of tokens in circulation, and you think about this as few tokens in circulation. I mean, the designer could have done a better job than put a fart, but it's okay. We understand. Essentially, it is a lighter bag to lift because there are less tokens in circulation, right? So maybe in a down market, you don't want tokens to rain on you. But in an up market, maybe if there's low float, it's easier to push the price up. And so if you think about a token like Sui, question is, which is easier to push up? Sui or Cardano? Okay, now if you look at the market cap of Cardano is 12 billion, the fully diluted, and the market cap of Sui is, sorry, the fully diluted of Sui is 20 billion, the fully diluted of Cardano is 15 billion. Which one would you prefer to buy? Okay, now clearly the answer is going to be SUI, right? Barring the technology, let's just put the technology aside for 1 second. The difference is that Cardano has so many tokens in circulation that for the balloon to actually push the market up it's almost impossible. It's so heavy. The bag is so heavy to lift up. You need a lot of helium balloons. You need crazy. But for SUI, the amount of tokens in the basket is actually very small. There's only $5 billion worth of tokens in the basket. And so it's much easier to push the SUI balloon up than it is to push the Cardano balloon up. And so I agree that in a down market, you have to be careful of the high FTV low floats. But in an up market, the high FTV low floats are the best tokens to be buying, because the amount of balloons or the amount of upward market forces that you need to push up with a very low float is so little that these are going to be the most reflexive, most responsive tokens to the market moves. So the first criteria, so the next criteria that you say, okay, it must be an up market. But, so it's got to have high FTV, low float, strong fundamentals. You've got to be in an up market. And then there's one more criteria. This is not for multi-cycle. This is not for multi-cycle projects. This is for projects that you want to hold for the next 12 months. Because multi-cycle, all those tokens are going to rain on you, right? Multi-cycle, all these tokens are going to land on your head. But, if you're holding something for 12 months, then all you need to look at is you need to look at how much is going to rain on your head between the time that you buy and the time that you plan to sell, which is 1 year from now. And I've called that the rain, just so we know, the rain. So let's look at example SUI. Right now, there's 27% circulating supply. So there's $5 billion circulating. In the next year, or by 1 year from now, there's going to be 37%. So there's going to be, in this year, there's going to be 9% worth of rain. Okay, like 9% worth of rain is cool. Like 9% worth of rain, cool. Someone says your mood changes like the weather. No, my mood changes like the market. In a down market, I don't want to be holding tokens where there's no buyers and it's just raining on my head. In an up market, I want to be holding those tokens because they're the lightest tokens in the world to go up, right? And so what you need to do is you need to look at the tokens and you need to say, one, do they have high FTV, low float? Yes. Do they have strong fundamentals, good technology, strong fundamentals, good momentum? Yes. Is the market going up, or do you believe the market's going to go up? Yes. Okay, cool. What is the rain index? If the rain index is low, it means that there's going to be very little tokens raining on you. And at the end of the year, there's still going to be very few tokens in circulation. So these tokens are very safe to buy. Very, very safe to buy in the market. So let's look at this. SUI, worth buying. Parcel, worth buying if you like the fundamentals. Drift, Orange. When I say drop, there's a 25% increase in tokens. Now, look, I just want to give an example. If I compare Drift, which is a derivatives protocol, to GMX, which is also a derivatives protocol, right? GMX has all the tokens in circulation. Drift has will have 48% by the end of the year. Which one would you rather be buying? Equal, if they were both equal. I would be buying Drift. Why? Because the balloon is still lighter to push up than the GMX balloon, where you've got all the potential people selling on your head. Here, you don't have the sellers because they're all locked up. And so that's why I would say what you need to do is you need to look at the tokens and look for the ones with, where are they going to be 1 year from now, 12 months from now? And if the number is low, the lower the FDV, the lower the number of in circulations, the better. Now, again, I've always said to you, if there's low float, high FTV tokens, don't buy it. It's the worst investment you can make. But I realized why I did that, because the market was going down and all these token unlocks, there was no buyers and all these token unlocks would lock on your head, would fall on your heads. But if we're going into this season over here and the retail investors are actually going to be coming in, then, and there's going to be upward momentum, buy the tokens with the least circulating supply in the market. The lower the float, the better the fucking token, because the easier it is for the balloon to pick it up. I know it's a paradigm shift, and it took me a while to actually click that this is going to happen. But, I mean, someone says, I can't stand the rain. Exactly. We don't want the rain. And so that's why, like, these guys, like, go look at Nine Heroes. Or Nine Heroes is that game on Sol. There's only a 3% unlock. in the next 12 months. No rain, lots of upward supply. Where is this token going to go? Fucking, it's going to fly. Okay, Parcel, 21% unlocks. Saga, 21. All these ones were 21% unlocks. If you believe in the fundamentals, buy like fucking crazy. Buy like fucking crazy. Why? Because the high FTV tells you that it's a good protocol. The low flow tells you that it's easy to lift up. It's a paradigm shift. I had the paradigm shift this morning when I was talking to the researchers. And I know you guys think that I really dig deep and I dig deep and I dig deep. But the thing is, when you dig deep, this is when you find the nuggets. And if I hadn't tested and tested and tested and tested, I wouldn't have found the nugget. But I think what we found is, I think we found gold here, guys. The gold is that we want the lowest float. The higher the FDV, the lower the float, the better. The better the token, the more the thing will actually go up. So like, I'm now looking at tokens like Athena, where there's only 25% rain. 25% rain is quite high, got to be honest, quite high. Look at the ones with little rain, and where 1 year from now the circulating supply is going to be low. Jito's high. Nine Heroes, Zai, Saga. Look, just again, the comparison is, would you rather be in Sui? Which, by the way, like similar FDVs. Sui, fully diluted valuation, $20 billion. Cardano, fully diluted value, $16 billion. I would rather be in Sui. Why? Because the amount of helium that I need is enough to pick up a 5.6 billion market. And the amount of helium that I need to pick up Cardano is a $12.43 billion market. Imagine how heavy that balloon bag is going to be. That's why I would be buying that. Got it? What do you think? Let me know in the thing. I think it was like one of the best things, best discoveries that I've got for this part of the cycle. Yeah, on that note, let's just see how I'm doing. Okay, I'm still coming sixth in the competition. This is not good. By the way, I want to show you Bitfunded. Remember, I showed you yesterday. Let me show you. Hold on. Let me show you here. Here we go. So there is a lot of people are starting to get paid a lot from Bitfunded. So you go to Bitfunded, you trade using other people's money. And what happens is you land up actually, hold on there. So you land up actually trading with other people's money, as you can see. So you see, you actually land up trading with other people's money, and these guys are actually getting paid out. Now, if you want to trade on Bitfunded, you need to go to this section over here. Sign up to Bitfunded, and then you will be trading with other people's money if you can pass the test. And I think this is the best way to actually get yourself trading on, like, without losing. The most you can lose is, like, let's say $79. But if you win, you get land up keeping 90% of the money, more or less, which is, like, that's probably the safest way to actually trade. So join Bitfunded. If you join this week, you could get some free challenges, as I said yesterday. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I loved bringing it to you guys. If you did, smash the like button one last time. Otherwise, I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.